do 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 movies.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gents. I'm Pete.
I'm Brian,
and we're here with Brian's brother, Kevin.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back, Kev.
I don't know why I waved at the microphone.
You're not used to radio.
Yeah, but you can hear my gentle hello.
Yes.
Like, so gentle.
Really adds to it, yeah. Your gentle hello also included a little aggressiveness before we hit the record button. Why is that, Kev?
Well, it turns out Pete has a strong no alcohol before we start recording rule, and that's not how we fly in the Youngst Houston household.
I mean, it's true. We have to be professionals before we get sloppy.
Yeah, so it's always been that we just record the five-ish minutes of what we remember before we get sloshy and our memory gets fucked, so that we can talk about what we don't remember about the movie that we're about to watch and not remember accurately.
I feel like that's because you're not practicing hard enough.
Well, that's also
shots
true.
Fired. But, training. You know, after, well, this is what, episode 100 and something?
At least.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. Yeah. And what are we doing for episode 150?
Is this episode 150?
It's not, but we're getting there.
Oh, you can't put me on the spot like that. Like, what? Usually make me watch something terrible.
Oh, the Ewoks Moon Adventure!
God damn.
Oh, I remember that.
I have the DVD for it.
Why do you have the DVD for it?
Because I'm saving it for you, just the same way that I saved Howard the Duck.
Oh, god damn.
It's a little blonde girl gets her parents brutally murdered.
Yeah. Well, that was the sequel, wasn't
then
it?
Then it's adopted by Ewoks, right?
Something
what?
Like that.
Yeah. I thought, yeah.
No, that was the made-for-TV movie. Anyways, we are some dads here that are going down memory lane,
yeah.
The world of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to watch a movie that we remember from our youths and not accurately remember. What movie are we watching tonight, guys?
Kev?
We are watching Tank Girl.
Do you know the questions that we are going to try and answer? Question number one.
Does Laura Petty fuck a kangaroo?
we shouldn't spoil that one.
When doesn't she?
I think they leave it open-ended.
I don't think it's very open-ended. I think it gets pretty heavy.
Okay. Well, see? Question answered. But we'll find out for sure.
And accordingly, does this movie hold up?
Yeah. If you want to get more listeners, you can't answer the question before they hear it.
I mean, look, we're about it's getting more listeners. We're about the hardcore listeners that we have, Kev.
Podcasting 101.
Question number two. Should this movie be remade, rebooted, sequeled, or removed, recycled, reimagined?
Well, I'm trying refracted. To think of which older actor needs a paycheck like Malcolm McDowell must have. Because you remember Malcolm McDowell is the big
yep.
guy in this one.
He's the big guy.
Oh my gosh, I'd totally forgotten.
Yeah.
He just did a really crazy, terrible movie that I just saw.
That wasn't Tank Girl?
Just like this year he did. Anyways, we'll come back
I
to
mean,
that. And then question number three, should we have our kids watch it either as punishment or reward? And at what age?
I don't know. At what age are your kids okay with the idea of woman on kangaroo sex?
To be fair, it's an anthropomorphic kangaroo. He was a mutant. It was not his choice. It's just who he is.
Yeah.
And he has feelings too.
And I don't remember that part of the movie, weirdly.
Yeah, but now the more we talk about it, the more it's coming back to me.
That's why when you guys were like, do you want to watch Tank Girl? I was like, yeah, I'd like to know if Laura Petty fucked the kangaroo guy. Let's do it.
We're also going to get some scotch.
Yes.
And some ice cream.
Yes.
And what else do you remember about this movie, Kev? Aside from the kangaroo porn.
Do you want me to give you like a I think I've got a pretty good handle on.
You think you remember? Like, do you
there's
remember,
a beginning, a middle, and an
end. Did we see it in theaters, Kev? Or I think we rented
no,
it.
No, we rented it.
Right? I remember watching it and renting it. And I've seen this a couple times when we were much younger.
Yeah. Laura Petty lives in a world with no water. Right? That's it?
Yeah. It's like the opposite of water world.
Didn't like an asteroid or something hit the Earth?
And I don't know, it's everything's
maybe.
Run by a corporation run by Malcolm McDowell.
Right.
So it's kind of like Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Bezos could star as Malcolm McDowell in the reboot.
Or Elon Musk. I feel like both are
rich
and sleazy enough.
Yeah.
But I feel like Elon Musk is a little more.
Yeah, but neither of them are going to chew the scenery like you really want them to.
Who would be a good billionaire scene chewer?
The ultimate scenery chewer of all time.
No.
Yes.
He's not a billionaire.
We need Shatner in this movie.
I thought you were going to say Nicolas Cage.
Oh. No, I was going to say, what's the...
Why are we discussing this now? Don't we need to watch the movie first?
Yeah, that's true. We'll get into it.
Yeah, let's not go down the... we're hoping to have Neil here for the end of it. So we're going to pause this and then get down to brass tacks.
Yeah, we'll get the good stuff. We'll get all scotched up and then watch Tank Girl, come back, and we'll see how it holds up.
I'm kind of interested. I'm intrigued.
I feel like I'm missing big sections.
Different units of measurement. By some, that means cups, pints. Like, how much scotch?
How much is Kevin going to need to get through this movie?
Oh, well, we could just bring the bottle.
I'm in. Let's do it.
We'll be right back, ladies and gents. Do, 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 do.
They're called rippers, not kangaroos.
Oh, yeah.
Well, who feels real stupid about the no drinks before the movie thing now, Pete?
I don't know.
It's my fault. I started falling asleep,
so I feel like if I had had more to drink, it would be...
I've taken more notes in any movie in the last 12 months on this. I have questions.
I think you've wasted ink.
I'm going to say, I enjoyed it. It brought me back all those feelings of confused arousal.
I mean, it was, there were points I remembered, like, I remember this scene as a kid. Okay, that's true.
Oh my God.
Lori Petty starts cutting her clothes off. That was apparently a seminal moment in my childhood.
It awoken something in you?
I remembered it when it happened. Lori Petty that much.
I like weird Laura Petty, but I don't know about that scene.
At
but,
one point,
you know,
she looked a little bit like one of our grandmas. So, that's, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down that road, Kev.
No. Me neither, man. Me either. But you're
there. Welcome back, movie fans. I feel a bit silly for new policy. We're going to start the nights off with a toast from here on in. We will cheers our glasses at the very entrance of the podcast. I am so sorry, Kevin.
No worries, buddy.
Yeah. You know, we're growing. We're learning.
You know.
Who would like to go first? Kevin, why don't you hit us softly?
So, I think I forgot, but the synopsis, I just did a classic In a World.
Oh, okay. Wow, we're gonna have two of them tonight. All right.
Is that how we always? I don't know. I thought that's what we were supposed to do. Is that not what we do?
You should follow your bliss. You don't realize I'm smiling at the microphone right now.
Wow.
Right.
They can hear the smile like they could hear my wave.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they can.
It's a very visual medium.
All right. In a world where life can dry up in a heartbeat, a modern woman still finds time for a wardrobe change and changing out her weaves before saving the world from evil. Also, kangaroo gangbangs, mate.
I like
weirdly similar.
And I like that you brought up the wardrobe change, because all I could think of is like, huh, so Wonder Woman 84 was only the second most unnecessary wardrobe change in cinema history.
Changed their clothes a lot. Like, when the little girl got kidnapped, they found time to, like, change out of their hooker clothes, which, sure, I mean, fine, but... sense of urgency, at least.
They basically brought in every single outfit that the character wore, I guess, in the run of the comics and crammed all into one movie.
Well, if it's a comic, it makes sense. Because in comics, you're constantly, like, every panel sometimes is just a different version of the outfit or whatever, especially in the 90s.
What comic was that? Like, Batman pretty much stays consistent in this
Batman
comic.
Batman has had one outfit for 74 years.
Not if you play with the toys.
Touché.
That's true. There was purple Batman, gold Batman,
scuba diving Batman.
Do you want to go next? Do you want me to go next?
I'll go next to break up the world.
How did you know?
Just a feeling. Okay.
You should throw it in there just for shits and giggles.
No, I follow my bliss. Okay. Tank Girl. If Mad Max and Biodome had a baby and that baby got super high. Tank Girl is a one-woman whirlwind who goes against Bezos 2.0 to bring water back to the planet.
Accurate. I like that.
Somehow, though, like...
It was a comet that took out the water, right? They said it was a comet.
Maybe
a
meteor.
Came and sucked up all the water.
There was a lot of exposition dump in that Margot Harlequin way at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, there was...
Did you get that vibe? Like, I kind of felt like Harlequin was just based off of Tank Girl.
100%. Like, this... Harley Quinn in the... the Suicide Squad movies is pretty much just Tank Girl with a different accent.
Not even really that much of a different accent.
Mm. Yeah. All right. What you got, Pete?
In a world.
There it is.
Where the only way a girl can be taken seriously is to use her tank and fire rounds of beer to kill her nemesis. And something about weird kangaroo sex. But she walks softly and carries a big gun.
Also kangaroo gangbangs?
Also kangaroo gangbangs.
Well, I like that you quoted the Ice-T song.
Do you like? Thank you. Oh. Thank you. I thought that you...
It was so gross.
It was... It didn't get stuck in my head. I had to write it down. Otherwise, I was going to forget that pretty quickly. So, guys, question number one.
Well...
It's the future. There's no water.
It's 10 years from now, so I buy it.
What's question number one again?
Does this movie hold up?
Oh, he's thinking.
Yes.
What? I mean, yeah. Go on.
I don't know, man. Things I wrote when the movie first started was good music, ? Yes. I love myself some 90s girl rock. Talent is sexy. Talent is sexy.
Okay, so the music's a yes.
I also wrote Lori Petty. Lori. What's the appeal? Then I saw the
cutting scene, and so thing. That I checked that box for you.
That's nice, but then it continued, and I was like, huh. And then she kind of lost me again. But you know what? And also, they lived in a sex commune, which is really an appropriate environment for children in general.
Touché.
Yeah.
But again, you're describing a lot of like the first half of the movie.
Well, I mean, that's when I pretty much stopped taking notes. I was in it for the roller coaster.
I started taking notes at that point.
Got it.
I drifted in and out of consciousness, you know. But like,
I was locked in and still have no idea what this movie is about.
I gotta say, for me, the movie didn't hold up. I found that I was incredibly bored. Like, I was locked in for the first half. I'm like, this is pretty rad. This is. You know, just like the comic, it's really cool. Like, she's so irreverent and, like, you know, witty. And it's 90s exploding all over the place. I found
zero wit.
Well, but it was 90s. You guys both
laughed when she said, it's been swell, but it's going down.
That's true. I did write that down. Okay.
But the swelling's going down.
I was moderately...
But the only problem is that halfway, like, through the movie, it suddenly just started to meander. Like, they go meet the Rippers, and then... They're doing something where they have to go stop an arms deal, but then it turns out it was all a ploy to show that their father figure was murdered, and now they need to go also and destroy all of Water and Power to rescue a girl or something.
It was
so the awkwardness, weird. Listeners, that you're feeling right now listening to Brian explain that. Imagine that happening over 45 minutes. Slowly, painfully unfolding.
It pretty much, the moment she met the Rippers is when the movie fell apart for me. I did not like the Rippers in terms of like their
were they costume. The Rippers or the kangaroo sex?
They're the
guys?
Same. They're the same. They're the same.
Did not get that.
Even when they called themselves Rippers, even when she said we're looking for the Rippers, we found the Rippers. She said this is Rippers hideout. You guys Rippers? Well, we're not really like Rippers. We're more like kangaroo. And then they explained how they were called the Rippers because I don't
know. I wasn't listening to a lot of the dialogue.
But that's the problem, is that all of a sudden, like, we go from we got to rescue the girl to we need to meet the Rippers, and now we're doing Rippers things. Also, she's slept in love with a kangaroo.
I'm going to point out, earlier we said, no, it's cool because they're men who were turned into kangaroos. Not true. I think the one she fucks was a dog that was turned into a kangaroo.
Upgraded to a human first. Human.
Well, yeah, because it's
human. Class?
He said they were reincarnated, so he's
no,
like,
but
I
he
was
upgraded to human status.
Right. That's so they were talking about their past lives, where he said that he was a dog, and then he became a human, and then he's now a
no,
king.
No, he didn't become a human. He was upgraded to human status. Words matter,
is,
Brian.
A lot Ripper. Of this is very confusing.
So he's a dog who became a kangaroo.
I guess, but humanoid.
But still, weirdly, as a comic, that makes sense as part of the love story.
Well, yeah, in the comic, and especially in the reboot that came out a couple years ago, they just roll with it. Everybody's normal, but there's a kangaroo guy that is her boyfriend, Boo.
Well, you know, you see the same thing in the Star Wars universe of, like, all sorts of creatures from different worlds and things
Sure.
Having a thing. Sure. So why should we be...
Love is love. We're not judging.
We're not... Yeah.
But the comic has better writing.
Star Wars series has the main character fucking a kangaroo?
I mean, Lando is fucking an android. Where's the implication?
Well, you know, Leia does... Leia refers to Han as a scruffy-looking nerf herder, for one.
Which is...
No, I'm just talking about, like, even with... on Tatooine, when you have the green lady dancing and she's kind of like the sexual being.
Twi'lek?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You've obviously been to Disney World.
A couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah, but
out some websites.
All I was trying to say was
Rule
that
34.
In other universes, we have interspecies couplings on a regular basis. Even in Star Trek, too. Chris Pine's Kirk.
Yeah, Kirk is
gets it on with anything. Everything. We'll get it on with anything that we'll get it on with him.
I mean, I get the argument, but you're never going to convince me that fucking a lady with green skin is the same as fucking a kangaroo.
I'm not going to knock until I try it.
The green skin of a kangaroo.
Just saying, like, in a world, I mean, we got 10 years until it happens anyways, okay? So, here's to the future.
But you know, they say that, though, but they already said that there hadn't been rain in 11 years. So, we're like a couple years out for when all water stops.
Very topical with what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, maybe it's all a metaphor.
This is our future.
Prophetic. Imagine if this and Idiocracy together were the same universe.
Whoa.
Actually, that makes perfect sense. We should watch that next week.
No. But... I gotta say, I did really enjoy the tank. I liked the tank. The tank was a lot of fun. I liked the aesthetic, and I liked that
did
they were
true. Did the tank become sentient?
Yes, and that's something that happens in the comic, like where the tank just, she... Well, I love it. Like, in the beginning, Jet Girl is like, drive the tank, and it just shows her, like, just hitting buttons, having no idea what she's doing. Because, you know, turns out you need to know a thing about a tank to drive
it. Can we talk about Malcolm McDowell, the still-living great actor?
I'm still pretty sure he's dead, man.
Character died in this movie. This now.
No, fabulous.
He was very good and chewed the scene every time.
I love when an actor gets an opportunity like that, and you can tell they were just like, we're going to just do 5 to 15 takes of this, and Malcolm, you just explore the space.
Oh, dude's still alive.
Imagine that.
Just say that?
He was born in 1964? How old?
43. Are you looking at the wrong Malcolm McDowell?
Years active. He was born in 43. Sorry, why wouldn't anyone put out years active? Who cares? I just want to know when he was born.
Well, but yeah, I feel like he has perpetually been that age for the last 30 years.
So, you know, you start out looking terrible, but then you just age into it.
He's Benjamin Buttoning his way through the universe.
But yes, he was fantastic, and you could tell that he was having fun with it. I think it was a little bit like a Frank Langella from Masters of the Universe, where he played Skeletor and was just fabulous.
Yeah, that was definitely awesome. Best part of that movie.
Yes. Yes. I much rather watch this movie than Masters of the Universe.
You'd rather watch this than Masters of the Universe? Really?
Twice. I'd watch this back to back than watch Masters of the Universe.
Oh, was Courtney Cox in that?
She was. Okay. The ending of that movie was rough.
Most of that movie was rough.
A lot of rough things in that movie. right, so
you're welcome for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Question two.
Sorry, I was just thinking, based on his costume, Dolph Lundgren is into some rough trade. But
splat.
Yeah. Sorry, back to the movie we watched.
Would you reboot this movie, or sequel this movie, or prequel this movie? Well, we're seeing, we can just turn the news on to prequel this movie, but
fact. I would. I love Tank Girl. I love the newer comics. I like the craziness, the zaniness. But I almost rather watch it as like a animation. I found that in this movie, I really enjoyed the cartoon aspects more than the movie itself. So I'd like to see that. And I did appreciate that this movie was very true to the comics and how things looked, how people acted, the costumes. They really went to the source. So respect to that.
If you had made that suggestion a year ago to Netflix, you'd have a green light already.
Only.
I'm just saying, you could add a Tank Girl anime.
That would have been amazing. I would like it as an anime.
Would have been on par with like Arcane. Imagine having like that kind of animation sequences with Tank Girl.
Yeah, I think it's made more for that than.
Yeah.
And can we talk about like the, everyone knows I'm a big fan of practical effects, but I felt like practical effects for the Rippers slash the Kangamen.
What's the word we're looking for?
Off-putting.
Lacking.
Awkward.
Mediocre.
Oh, well, Stan Winston did the makeup. Like, they brought their A-game.
Yeah, makeup.
Sexually confusing. Because, again, we watched this as kids. And so, Lori Petty fucked a kangaroo? Because they it pretty open-ended.
I don't think it was open-ended. She did another wardrobe
check. I think Naomi Watts might have fucked a kangaroo.
Oh, I think they both did.
I think if Naomi... We should talk about this.
The kangaroo says, I've got condoms.
I think Naomi Watts had to fend off an attack by the surfer. She's
assaulted by a kangaroo?
He was aggressive. Remember like when they were giving them nitrous oxide to make him tell the truth?
Yeah,
and
Laura Petty passed out and he was like, I think you should give him more. Like, he was...
Yeah, they were horny as fuck. I got that part.
Well, there's horny as fuck, and then there's, like, creepy...
Yeah.
Willing to act on it.
Creepy...
Yeah.
Red flags.
Yeah, that's where they were.
Naomi Watts was awake for that party, and he said, I have condoms, come with me.
Yeah, but then he just basically started, like...
Dry-humping her.
Well, it was more like rabbit dry-humping her on the dance floor. Yeah.
So, let's take a moment, though. Movie slows down. Why does it slow down? They're having a dinner scene. Yay, they're having dinner. And then they talk about where we get to listen to a slam poetry... Yep. Jazz Fest from One Ripper.
Oh my God. So that was the saxophone poem, and I wrote right underneath that, now I'm just angry.
Mm-hmm. See?
And then directly arrow into prayer hump circle.
Right. So imagine, everyone, the scene from The Matrix 2 where everyone in Zion just has like a weird mud rave in the middle of Zion. That's what happened here, but with the like a third...
directly from Tank Girl.
A third of the budget with a bunch of kangaroo dudes and two very awkward women who
really
are not sure what's happening.
Kangaroo bukkake. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So
this is where the podcast has gone to. We are professionals.
That's where the movie, like, I think shortly after that, I started nodding off because my brain was just like, you are wasting my time. So
I also wrote, never let whimsy interrupt a rescue attempt, because literally. They go in there and they save the little girl, and they're like, pause for musical interlude, and they do a whole whole thing, and then she gets kidnapped again. And I was like, oh well, that's just dumb.
See, like, yeah, this is, you know what, a great example.
Zoinks!
Real life. Laurel found a tick on my Xbox controller. Took the time to take a photograph of it to send me a picture to say, oh my God, look what I found on your Xbox controller. And then the tick crawled in the Xbox controller.
Inside of it?
Inside the controller. Don't worry, folks. It came out. Laurel killed it. But if she hadn't taken the time to, like, pause to document the bizarre moment and just killed the tick, no problem. So, yeah. There's a life lesson in
it. It's the world we live in now.
Yes. If something doesn't occur on Insta, it doesn't occur. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
I'm like, how... Yeah, obviously, you have to document.
Got to put on the gram.
Got to gram it. Hashtag that shit.
Okay, so... we're all on board. We'd like to see an anime sequel, but we're not.
If you could live action, I would weirdly like to see a live action. I could go for but I'm with you on the animation aspect. Like that was the most enjoyable moments of this movie for me was the aesthetic, the comic and cartoon aesthetic, and then the sequences themselves. Aside from that, I found the dialogue unbearable. For most of it, and
fair.
Incomprehensible for most of it as well. I was lost and didn't care enough to be found in what was happening.
I think it's very, very 90s. In fact, so 90s that the music...
that was an amazing pull and find at the end of this credits.
Yeah, the music coordinator was Courtney Love. And even the whole thing, I'm like, this has got major Courtney Love vibes.
was pretty awesome that you predicted
that's
that
why.
One.
So, yeah.
If you were to see this as a live action, who would you want to see as Tank Girl?
Good question. Who?
Margot, off the top, but that's too much of a...
Well, if she... Kristen Stewart kind of has a bit of like the Laura Petty vibe, a little bit of that, you know, sexy, doesn't give a fuck, but I don't think she can act. So,
Kev, it's just...
Who do you got, Kev?
You can't shake your head.
You can't say Margot Robbie. She's already.
No one can see you shaking your head.
I'm sorry. The answer is no to Kristen Stewart. So it's always a no.
Who do you got?
I don't know. I'll get back to you.
All right. I mean, it's tough.
I'm more interested in who replaces Malcolm McDowell.
Well, okay, go for it then. Serve something up. I want William Shatner, personally.
No, you always go with Shatner, but I think he's way too old to play. No. He could chew the scenery, but...
Breaking Bad, dude.
Bryan Cranston.
Nice.
Oh.
I could go for that. I could see that. Just enough whimsy in there.
Honestly, you take all the kids from Malcolm in the Middle and make them the kangaroo dudes, and they look pretty much the same.
Wait, so just have it be like a very, very sly Malcolm in the yeah. Middle. Like
it's just a whole thing's reunion. A dream sequence, and then Cranston wakes up.
Yeah, and he's still stuck in Malcolm in the Middle, and he's real upset.
I mean, that would be awesome.
I'm not against this. Unfortunately, I think Frankie Muniz had some sort of accident or like hits that. He has no recollection of any of his time in Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, so my jokes are no longer, they're inappropriate. I didn't
know that. Well,
R.I.P. Frankie Muniz?
No, he's not dead.
He's not dead.
Someone's going to die.
You were just, you're betting 1,000 on who's alive and who's dead.
Whatever.
Oh, so my gosh.
Okay, anyways. Question 3.
Kids. I'm never going to sit my children down. Well, I might, but I can't think of the thing that they're doing wrong where I'd make them sit through this.
Well,
like, I'm not going to sit through it. Yeah. I'm going to sit them down and say, you have to watch this and waste 104 minutes of your life.
I just don't want you to have to explain the feelings that they're going to feel during some of the scenes.
Watching Laura Petty cut her stockings with dinosaur scissors.
And then watch her fuck a kangaroo or get sexually assaulted by a kangaroo. It's still really fuzzy.
And I love that this is like, you are hammering this point home.
We got to also take a moment.
It's real weird. Like, so, this is a movie that was, it was released to theaters. It was a major motion picture. And it's about kangaroo.
It had a very large marketing and advertising budget. Right.
Yeah.
Can we just take a moment?
They did the rounds on the circuit.
We really need to deep dive a little bit on the scissors cutting, because we got to start, that scene starts where he finds his birthday present, a pair of boots, on his bed with, you know, I love you snookums.
Yeah.
And then snip, snip. And he immediately is supposed to read that as, I'll come find you, where then I'll understand what snip, snip. Because if Laurel sent me a note that just showed scissors going snip, snip, like you, Pete, I'm thinking that it's time my homeboys got, you know, strung up and made vestigial.
Yeah.
Well, so
I mean, this is obviously a sex game they play.
It's a
weird. We did get a preview of the sex game before she was
there. They are weird. Yeah. And even that kid was like, they're being weird again. Yeah. Like, she's into, this is going deeper. This is too deep.
Honestly,
I don't want to go
there. They have
anymore.
A very healthy sexual relationship.
All over the place in a commune.
Whatever, you know?
They're kids there, man.
You gotta, listen, in after the apocalypse, you gotta find love where and when you can.
Well,
you take moments, man. You take your moments.
How much time does this movie take place in? Because we also need to take out the fact that her boyfriend was brutally gunned down.
Oh, yeah.
She was thrown into a mine, and then she's like, you know...
She has passed that pretty quickly.
Kangaroo.
This could have been, like, you know, seriously hours later. Maybe weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Years. How long did she spend in the mine?
I don't know. I
mean, Petty's how long a leaf on the wind.
How long did it take for the tank to become sentient?
They just used that in the crazy random woman's garage. They painted everything. Oh, and then when they're finished painting, she's like, you gotta paint it back again.
What was up with the crazy random woman where, like, Lori Petty, like, walked around the centerpiece of a table and, like, bonked her on the head with a fish?
And it wasn't even a bonk, it was a bop.
A tap. It was a love tap.
It was a boop. And that knocked her out.
Well, it's just reminding her that she's there, I suppose. You know?
It's like a hey.
Do you think that they really tried to make it, like, every sequence should be a comic?
Yeah, they were...
It's obvious. Obviously, it's...
This is very much like the comic. Like, where random things happening, there's bullets flying, and suddenly, you know, she might say, like, wait, pause, where's my beer? And then suddenly, like, she's scrambling looking for beer as bullets are flying everywhere. But in the comic, it's very funny and goofy and just zany, but... Live action, it's
Well, it was funny and goofy and zany here. Like, As Kev pointed out before, we had laugh out loud moments. What was that moment that we laughed out loud about?
You guys really liked it when she said, "It's been swell, but the swelling's gone down."
Yeah, still like it. But you know what it is? It's Deadpool. If you had Deadpool-level writing and acting and effort and everything like that, that's kind of the vibe from the comic. It's very Deadpool-esque.
It is, but lacking a bit of the self-awareness.
Oh, no, the comic is very self-aware.
The comic is. I'm talking about what we witnessed.
I don't think this movie could figure out if it wanted to be a serious movie, a comedy, or an action, or sci-fi, or it was just...
Arnold Schwarzenegger action movie. Hip fire.
Yeah, everyone was hip firing. That was the crazy eights of the barrel. Kev, do you think, like, would you have your kids watch this? Would you say, like, hey, kids?
No.
There you go. No, the only
like
reason
I said the whole sexual confusion then.
Did you have a favorite moment to the movie?
Do you want us circle back?
No, I want to press him on this.
There was a scene with a bunch of semi-naked ladies, and I was like, "Well, this is nice. This brings me back." And
of course, that was the moment that my daughter came downstairs.
With Iggy Pop as a
weird
pedophile.
Then it got weird with Pete's daughter and the sexual assault. But for a bright, shining moment, we were just in a scene with a lot of naked ladies dancing. I don't know, guys. What do you want from me?
No, that's exactly what I wanted. It worked good.
Well,
I
got
to put you on the spot.
For me, the only reason I could ever think that my kids would watch this would be if they read my Tank Girl comics and were like, this is really awesome. Like, did they ever make a movie? Yeah, they did.
You're not going to lie to
them. Well, they're
like,
I love this comic so much, I want to see the movie too, just to complete the journey. And I'll go, all right, that's on you.
You're not allowed to blame me for this.
I also want to point out, like, that was the worst, I think I wrote worst trap ever since the Battle of Winterfell. Like, Malcolm McDowell knew everything they were doing. Yeah. And all it took was Jazz Guy shutting off the lights. And they murdered everybody in what appeared to be a gigantic base full of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about the fact that one Ripper was like, we have to go turn off that box. Later, cats. And then just runs the gauntlet?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if they had made it clear that they were all going to die if they didn't turn off the lights, which I guess was supposed to be what was happening.
Well, according to the wires that we saw strapped to their back, they could
fly anywhere. Three times in like a 20-second stretch.
Because you guys weren't drinking enough scotch.
At
that point, I was just drunk enough to not see the wires.
Maybe this movie's better if you're a little altered.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go in on that one.
Do we have any final thoughts about Tank Girl?
A few. Ice-T brought his A-game. Acting-wise. Like, he was trying.
Skinny.
Huh?
He was skinny.
He was...
I'm used to fat Ice-T. My wife really likes SVU, so I've seen
every
old Ice-T.
Old Ice-T, yeah.
Yeah.
But I actually thought that Ice-T was really bringing it. And there was that one moment when they're trying to land the ship and Jet Girl like flips out on Ice-T and like, listen here, you fucking kangaroo. I'm going to do shit my way. And you listening on the radio, fuck you. I'm landing this. Like, I actually thought that was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, it was supposed to be her moment where she finds her voice and her badassery, and
that was probably my favorite part of the movie.
I was wondering why. I figured they didn't have any women in the water and power hierarchy,
mm-hmm.
which is why she wasn't talking. So when she did talk, they were like, "Oh, it's cool. There's really a woman flying this plane, but women aren't allowed to fly planes. That's crazy."
Yeah,
I mean, it would have made sense if she was just like, "Oh, I'll be the one flying the plane, and therefore I will give all the codes because it makes sense." It's a good point.
Yep.
But nobody batted an eyelash. You're like, after all of that, the guy's like, "All right." But again, we know this because much like in Star Wars, they were well aware that they were coming in to go do this. So it was all part of the plan. So they already had the clearance to let the plane land.
Oh yeah, I suppose it all could have been part of the trap.
It was all part of the trap.
Right.
It's a trap.
But did he tell everyone, his henchmen, about the trap? Or was it just his own personal, I know everything, but I'm not going to tell my henchmen.
Not the ones Tank Girl murdered on the way in from her parachute.
Parachute bullshit.
Why?
Oh, my God.
Why?
So they said, like, okay, like there's no way we could just walk in. Like, it's too heavily fortified. We'll have to go over. In the plane? Yeah. Also, Tank Girl will just, you know...
combat parachute.
Yeah, well, that wasn't even combat. She will,
fly behind her
tank.
Parasail.
She'll parasail And all of the bullets will reflect off the carabiners on her.
Is that paratank?
No, it's still a sail. However you're being dragged, be it by... It's still a parasailing. Because she's sailing around in the air on a pair of sails.
Okay.
I don't know. But it's so stupid. Like, just... I saw that and I was like, this is
we couldn't figure out. But then we realized when we got to the wall that if she wasn't in the parasail, she wouldn't have been able to shoot down on the guys on top of the wall and kill those three guys that were firing down on tank.
Well, but they weren't firing at her. But
camera angles matter.
Her carabiners could reflect all the bullets, as we saw, as they sparked off.
I loved how Malcolm McDowell can block bullets and beer cans with his claw.
Fired by a tank.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
So no one explained where his head went after they cut it off.
And it didn't... Was it me or did it seem like he's still alive somewhere? He's like, you can't hurt me.
She sucked the water out. But what a stupid upgrade. Like, even with like his holographic head, like a bucket of water ended him. So one last thing I want to bring up is how exactly... Why was Malcolm McDowell so hardcore to like... to get Tank Girl in on it? Didn't make any sense at all. He was here the whole time. No
Tank
joke.
Tank Girl, that was the movie.
Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, guys.
I'm not doing that on a podcast.
Yeah, it's like, we're live. Join us. Have a seat. Have some scotch.
Yeah, it's Neil's birthday. Can we? He get got the birthday present of not having to watch Tank Girl. Yeah,
oh, you missed a lot, bud.
You guys didn't like it?
It didn't hold up? Oh, Kevin! Kevin was just all sorts of...
There was confusion.
Discovering things about
himself. Anger. Yeah.
Really?
Boredom.
I fell asleep.
Oh my god!
It's all right though. I woke up for the important bits.
Can you tell us what you remember about this movie?
If you tell us, scissors cutting stockings.
It could be. I think I remember the graphic novels more than I remember the movie.
Yeah. Do you like the graphic novels?
Yeah.
Okay.
Me too.
It's got a great title, Tank Girl. What I mean,
and there's Jet Girl and Sub Girl.
Yeah,
and
Booga.
Sub Girl.
Yeah, there's a Sub Girl, and then there's like another girl that's
constantly
drunk.
But there's also very, as Kev so eloquently
and
put earlier, a lot of sexual confusion.
I don't think they were that confused. I think they figured out where, when, where.
Again, I'm going to quote Kevin. There's weird sex with kangaroos.
And you didn't like it and you fell asleep.
See, Neil, this is why you can't skip out on movie night when I come over.
I didn't realize
that. It's been outnumbered by a bunch of squares, man.
John Travolta and Christian Slater had a love child, and he was like the number one henchman.
Oh, that was weird. Yeah, there was a very weird looking dude who looked exactly like John Travolta and Christian Slater fucked.
Yeah.
And had a kid that neither one wanted to admit to.
But somehow weirdly they helped him get started in the movie business, so he had an acting career.
I like to think he made it on his own.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think there were any... Come on. Nope. Scientologists though, don't they just help their
I
own?
I get that, but you know, if they're not going to acknowledge him, he's got to pull himself up by his own bootstraps.
You know what,
look how far he climbed.
He's got moxie.
Even Coke producer Pete can't appreciate this movie?
Oh, Coke producer Pete can appreciate this movie. Like, yes, but it's asinine. Like, I couldn't follow any... You'd have to fire the entire script writing team and start over.
So
the script was so egregiously bad.
To be fair, as I said, I really enjoyed the movie right up until she started hanging out with the Rippers, and then things took like a detour into just...
Can we not say the euphemism of Rippers? Can we just say kangaroo sex slaves?
Well, they weren't slaves. They were like active participants.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair.
Horny kangaroos.
I hope you got some good stills from this movie, because I'm going to be going to Facebook as soon as it's up. Because all this sounds awesome.
It wasn't.
We're glad you made it for the end,
Neil.
Yeah,
glad you're here, Neil. What do you want to watch next week?
We were talking about White Men Can't Jump.
Or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which honestly, I would be okay for either.
Either one would be really fun.
I'm leaning towards Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, to tell you the truth.
You know what, me too. Plus,
right, that was a request from my friend Romeo.
All right.
Romeo Lucas sent me a request to do Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Well, that's a great poll.
Doesn't sound like a real person, but we should still do
it. I haven't seen that since French class. Oh.
Okay. You're going to hold you to that, you know. Oh, happy birthday.
Romeo Lucas. Producer Pete is back.
It's not. No, it's his evil twin brother, Bromeo.
Okay.
Or Gnomeo, like that Netflix movie.
Gnomeo.
Now we're just raming. We're just raming. We're just raming, rhyming EOs.
Raining in, guys.
On that note, guys, I think we're all set with
this. Send us an email at dadsmovienight@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook, Dad's Movie Night. And you can continue listening to us, please. Oh, we also should do a little bit of a shout out. There's a podcast that's supposed to be starting up. A friend of mine, it's going to be called October's Children. And it should be coming out pretty soon. It's going to be a spooky New England serial story.
Cool beans. Checking it out. Nice.
All right.
We'll see you guys next week.
Or episodic?
I wish it were both, but it could probably be episodic.
Okay. Mm. That's fine.
What cereal would October's Children be?
Count Chocula.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Count Dracula, man. It's Dracula.
It all comes back. Yeah. If anyone wants to contact me, you can contact Brian and Pete, and they will screen my calls for me. So, yeah.
Kevin's a tough reach.
That's Roger Condor for you. Clear for landing.